Mephibosheth and the Call of Grace. Well, good day to everybody, and hopefully everything's going well for you so far. I want to get our minds on heavenly things at this particular time. And I also want to welcome you to our podcast, A Little Grace to Grow. I'm going to read a passage from 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, but the story involves the whole chapter, or the whole chapter involves this particular story. Mephibosheth is one of those unique characters of the Bible that really you and I can identify with as God's children. So what we find here in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David is at ease in his castle, remembering his friend Jonathan. He inquires about the house of Saul as he remembers the covenant he made with Jonathan, who, by the way, was the son of Saul. He is informed that Jonathan has a son that is still alive whose name is Mephibosheth. David sends men to bring Mephibosheth to him that he may honor him as his own son. Through Mephibosheth, we can see the work of grace in every child of God. Believer, as we study Mephibosheth, we will discover we are a lot like him. Notice, first of all, his name. It means shameful thing. Now, that'd be a tough handle to grow up with. But in truth, without Christ, you and I are shameful things. God's word says that our righteousness is as filthy rags in his presence. Second, he was lame on his feet. He was a cripple. He had nothing to offer David in the sense of being a soldier or even a gardener. Neither do we. We have nothing to merit God's grace coming to us. We were spiritually crippled, unable to fellowship with God. God had to come get us. We couldn't come to him without the work of the Holy Spirit tugging on our hearts. Third, he was crippled by a fall. He wasn't born that way. We find that in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. God made man with the ability to fellowship with him and be productive in the Garden of Eden. But when man sinned, he became crippled spiritually. He brought death upon all men. Now men are born dead to God. We are sinners by birth and behavior, by our very nature and our practice. Oh, but grace called us back to God and made us worthy in Christ. Fourth, he was from the household that had been in rebellion toward David, the house of Saul. In 2 Samuel 3, verse 1, the Bible says there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And until Jesus comes, there will be long war between the house of men and the Lord. Saul had tried to kill David on more than one occasion and eventually ran David out of Israel. David was willing to overlook all that Saul had done because of Jonathan. We too are from a family that is rebellious toward God. But his wonderful grace called us anyways. Fifth, he was living in Lodabar. That too is an unusual word. It means no pasture. So God would inform us about Mephibosheth, his name, his limitations, and his location. Lodabar means no pasture. This is significant because we are called sheep as Christians. And outside of Christ, we have no pasture. Sheep must have a place to graze or they will not be satisfied. Outside of Christ, nothing will truly satisfy our soul. It is the desire of many to pursue things outside of Christ, only to make them come up empty, if they're truly Christians. Outside of Christ, we will never, never find that purpose and sense of fulfillment that God wants us to have. We're just trying to get by in Lodabar, staying away from the will of God, the house of God, the Word of God, and you know you're saved, you're living in Lodabar. The reality is, if God is drawing you to Him and you have not made a decision to receive Christ, yet you know something's missing, you're living in Lodabar. And the Spirit of God wants you to come to Him. Jesus has set the table, and things are ready for you to come back to Him. You know something fascinating about when Mephibosheth is actually brought into the presence of David? David tells Mephibosheth, "You're going to eat at my table." And when this crippled man would sit down at the table of David, nobody would see his crippled legs. They would sit there as equals. You and I have been invited to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made provision. He's offered the invitation. If you haven't received Him, I hope you will. It's grace. It's not anything you can do to earn it. There are scores of wonderful songs about grace. The next time you sing Amazing Grace, may it have a personal meaning to you. The other day I was thinking about this particular song, Grace That Is Greater Than All My Sin. And I sure praise the Lord for that. But there was another thought that came to my mind as I was considering that song and that phrase, that stanza. Yes, I'm grateful that grace is greater than all my sin, but I tell you what, I am grateful that grace is greater than all my good works. I couldn't do anything good enough to earn heaven. I couldn't do enough penance. I couldn't go to church enough. I couldn't memorize enough scripture. I couldn't live a virtuous enough life on my own to merit heaven. I needed Jesus, and I'm so glad He provided grace. Aren't you glad He did that? I hope you have a fantastic day, and let's just revel in the grace of God today. God bless you, and have a great week.